You're listening to Limelight, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Emily Kalishewski.
Welcome to Limelight, a podcast that highlights the incredible work being done at the local level, the stories behind the people that do it, and topics that matter to them. I'm your host, Emily Kalishewski, and today we have the great honor of being joined by current MML Board of Trustees President, Catherine Bostic-Tullius. At least for the next couple of hours, we're here at convention, so she'll be passing along her position in just a little bit. But Catherine has served as city commissioner for the city of Lapeer since 2009. Her relationship with the city of Lapeer began in 1997 when she served as a board member on the Zoning Board of Appeals and on the steering committee that established the PIX Arts Council for Greater Lapeer, Inc. in 2001. She has served as president and treasurer of Lapeer County Habitat for Humanity, as president for the Lapeer County Bar Association, and served one term as a county commissioner for Lapeer County. Catherine has also served on the board of the Great Lakes Bioregional Land Conservancy, the Lapeer Area Citizens Against Domestic Assault, and on the Lapeer County Agricultural Preservation Board. She currently sits on the City of Lapeer Planning Commission and the Lapeer DDA Board. She also serves as a board member for Lapeer County Community Mental Health Services. She's been practicing law since 1995 and has had her family law practice in Lapeer since 1997. Thank you so much for joining us today, Catherine.
You're welcome. It's glad to be here.
First and foremost, we've got a few hours left of your term as presidency. How are you feeling? How do you feel about, you know, your year and the goals that you had coming into it and passing the baton on?
It's kind of a bittersweet feeling. I am sad to be leaving. It's been such a rewarding year. The people I've met, the communities that I've been able to engage in, the staff at the league, you guys are so great. You've been so supportive, so helpful. I'm going to miss all of that. Not that I can't call if I've got any questions for you guys later, but I mean, it really was a rewarding experience, and I'm going to miss that. I'm glad to be, you know, it's certainly now the next person. It's now Melanie's turn to take up that baton and continue that message. And it'll be nice to get back to Lapeer. Maybe my husband will be a little bit happier that I'm home a little bit more than I have been this past year.
Sure.
But it's definitely been a great experience that I would never, when I first, I think I said this at the board meeting yesterday, if somebody would have told me when I came on this board 4 years ago that I was going to be the president of the league, 4 years later, I would have thought they were crazy. I would never have thought that would have been on an honor that I would have been able to participate in. So it's been a great experience this last year.
So we just read your bio, and obviously you have great experience, a long tenure of experience in local government. What actually got you interested? You know, you went to law school, you were an attorney, but what got you interested in local government in the first place?
It's strange. I actually had been interested in local government before I became an attorney. And it kind of was just kind of a side thing that I did a little bit of. And then I ended up kind of getting caught up in my law school career and you know, kind of starting that whole process. But when I was in college, I went to Northern in Marquette. And while I was there, it was during the Dukakis campaign. And there was a state representative that was running for U.S. Congress at that time, and his name was Mitch Irwin. And I was a poli-sci major. Everybody told me when I went, you know, that if I wanted to go into law school, poli-sci was the degree to pick. So that's what I did. And I had some really great professors, and I saw an opportunity to do what was called a campaign practicum. And it was just an internship. It wasn't a paid position or anything. But by doing that, I was able to actually meet and work with Mitch Irwin, who was running for Congress. And I'm trying to remember the guy's name that actually was running against. It was, I think, Bob Davis. I had the opportunity to work with him and start interacting. I did a lot of door-to-door. I started meeting with other community leaders, and something in, you know, it sparked something in me that this is something that I would like to do. I was interested. And in fact, it made me at one point think, I could do this. I could actually be like a U.S. senator. I could have a major impact on issues that are important to me. And then I kind of, you know, I was really young. I was probably 19 or 20 at that time. Not very confident as a female. Growing up in a really small town in Lapeer County, didn't have that confidence at that point. So I kind of said, no, I just need to focus on why I'm here. And I need to, you know, go to law school, which was a big deal in of itself. So I kind of put that aside after I did my semester of kind of working for someone that was going to want to be in, you know, at that point, state government. But it was kind of my first look into local government. And then I ended up going to law school and didn't really look at it again until I came back to Lapeer, which is now where I live, and kind of established myself and realized that, okay, yeah, I want to be an attorney. I want to practice, but I want to be engaged. I want to be engaged in civic life. So that's, I kind of just wanted to get my feet wet, and I knew some people in town that were looking to have a vacancy filled on the Zoning Board of Appeals, and they said, hey, you'd be great. You know, you should you know, apply for this. And it was an appointed position. It wasn't obviously like running for something. But I did. I got on, and I really enjoyed working on local issues. And in fact, it impacted me where I ended up a few years later running for county commission. And I did really enjoy being a county commissioner. I did it for only one term and decided that I didn't want to run again, partly because of family issues, but also because I really liked local issues. As a county commissioner, you don't have as much interaction with local issues. It's a little different. And so I really ran for a 2-year term. And then I did a lot of other things after that. Didn't really get back into local government until 2009, when a colleague of mine who was working for a firm who then was appointed as the municipal attorney for the city, and that it was a conflict, so he had to leave the city commission, but came up to me and said, you know, hey, you're a great advocate. This is something that you would be really good at, and they need, you know, people to apply for this position that I'm leaving. I think you should do it. And so I did, and I've been there ever since. And I really enjoy being on the city commission. I think mm-hmm. it is a different animal than being on the county commission. And I really enjoy local politics.
Mm-hmm. So I've read up a little bit about you because we did a feature story on you a year ago when you first stepped into the role as president. And I found it quite interesting and striking that you actually were interested in becoming a nun for a while. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's an interesting path. Were you in law school at the time that was something that you were also considering?
I did. I was in law school. I was almost actually done with law school. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, I come from a pretty, I don't want to say a really devout Catholic background, but my family was pretty Catholic. And mm-hmm. That was an important part of my life. And my faith was important to me. And it was something that kind of was in the back of my mind for a time period. And I don't know, I just, the right connection of people happened. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going on a retreat and meeting someone. And it was actually a different order than I ended up looking at. It was a Sister of Mercy. And I ended up kind of just taking this journey. I at first I kind of thought, you know, I'll just look into it. Maybe it'll be something I think about. Maybe it won't be.
Sure.
And after looking at a couple of different religious orders, I ended up actually going to an order. It was funny. I'm going to back up a little bit, because I ended up becoming friends with another girl who was also looking at religious life. And we were both looking at the Sisters of Mercy, mm-hmm. Which is a great religious order. And we ended up actually leaving that order, or not, you know, deciding to look elsewhere. And we looked elsewhere for different reasons. She thought the Sisters of Mercy was way too progressive, and she wanted a more mm-hmm. conservative order. And I thought it wasn't progressive enough, and I wanted to be in an order that was more known for social justice issues. Mm-hmm. And that was important issue for me. So I ended up actually finding the IHMs, which are based out of Monroe. Mm-hmm. And my mentor with the IHMs, her name is Evie Craig. She's lives in Ohio now, but she basically got me engaged, and she inspired me to want to be in religious life. And I looked at that process probably for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty serious about it. I got through my candidacy, which is kind of, in the old days, it was known as a postulant, but I got through 2 years of that. And then I was going to be ready to go into the novitiate. And that's when I had just started practicing. I had gotten, I had worked for someone for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then I actually started my own practice. And that took on a different type of responsibility. And between kind of feeling some autonomy in my own practice and deciding that I really wanted a baby at some point in my mm-hmm. life, I decided that I was going to take a different path. But it was a good journey. I think I actually needed to go through that journey to kind of figure out who I really was and what I wanted. And so that was just something that it was just kind of the path I took. So,
but certainly interesting when it comes to understanding that is a thread that was really woven throughout your journey in life that kind of brought you to local government, is that you were interested in specific causes and in people. So that's so fascinating to hear kind of the law school aspect and then considering becoming a nun, and somehow you made your way to local government, and we're glad you're here. So getting back to local government a little bit more, what have you seen change since you started in local government to where you're at now?
I don't know how I've changed or how what I've seen different. I mean, I guess from my community, the city mm-hmm. of Lapeer, which is where I'm a city commissioner, I know our community has changed quite a bit. The tools that we need to utilize to pay for services within our community are really different than they were 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I came out of the commission, well, I'm going to go back further. When I actually came out of law school and, you know, was on the Zoning Board of Appeals, that was in 1998, 1997. Mm-hmm. And times were so different then. I feel like, you know, with the major recession we've gone through, we've had to do some hard decision making in Lapeer. And, you know, based upon the loss of revenue sharing that we've experienced there and the rising cost of healthcare and having to pay, you know, legacy cost, it's really put, it's made it hard in our community to make those decisions, but it's almost made us kind of like, in a sense, work harder. It's made us collaborate more. Mm-hmm. Forced us to kind of forge new partnerships and be more creative with how we come up with resources to and revenues to be able to you know, bring our community back. We've been fortunate that Lapeer actually has got a great partnership with DTE. We have a solar park, you know, mm-hmm. Which has been a great partnership with them. And then we also have now, just in the last year, become a select level Main Street community. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of opportunities there. I'm so excited. We just actually surpassed our crowdfunding goal. We had to reach within a 30-day time frame. We've reached our $50,000 mark for our pocket park. And so we're going to be able to, in fact, I believe we're actually beginning this week or maybe next week to actually break ground to start that whole process. So there's just been a lot of opportunities that we've been given. And I think that's come about because of the collaborative efforts that we've had to make within our community to reach out and do things differently than the way we did them before.
Mm-hmm. So what about you personally as a leader in your community? How have you changed since you were first elected to now?
That's a good question. I'm not, I don't know. My passion for change has always been there. I don't think that's different.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I have learned that, you know, no matter how old you get, no matter how long you've been in public service, that you can always learn to adapt. You can learn that there's always new ideas, that there's things that you can do to change your community. I've learned to listen, I think. I've learned to listen to those around me. I think when you go into public office, you think, you know, well, maybe you think you know the answers and you're ready to kind of forge it ahead and say, okay, I've got some great ideas, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't listen to the people in your community that are telling you, hey, well, what about this? I mean, I think that's what community is all about. You have to listen to each other. And by listening to each other, you gain knowledge and then you can put in perspective what you need to do. It takes, it's kind of like the concept, it takes a village. You can't work in a vacuum. You have to work with others in your community. And that's one thing that we have kind of gained from this Main Street in the last year is that even now after, you know, 10 years of being in public service as a city commissioner, you know, we don't necessarily always do the greatest job at communication among various agencies and boards. And so one of the things that I want to do as a city commissioner and as a member of our DDA is I would like, and a member of our planning commission, is that I think it's important that we create some type of collaborative task force to make sure that we're all listening to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that be the DDA, the city and various departments within the city, as well as the Chamber of Commerce, you know, the schools, there needs to be a collaborative body that people are communicating together to make sure we're sharing the same message.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like we all have a good message. They're not bad messages, but we're all working in silos. And so then it comes across like, you know, why aren't we working together? Why aren't we sharing our resources and actually promoting an image that actually is going to reflect on the entire community?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that, you know, the start of that within our community is going to be helpful in the long run.
Sure. Well, it sounds like, you know, you shifted from doing county government to municipal government and working for the city of Lapeer. But you still stuck around in doing the community mental health services. You serve on the board there. What made you choose that specifically to continue serving on?
I think that serving those that have mental disabilities has been always something that's been kind of important to me. I remember being an intern. As a college student, I would come home during the summers, and I would get jobs. It was back when they had the Michigan Youth Corps. I don't think people even probably know that name anymore. But kids that actually were, I grew up in a family that was low income, and so if you were a low income college student, there would be these jobs you could actually work mm-hmm. and make some income. And so one of those jobs I had was one summer I worked for community mental health, and I had an opportunity to kind of see the great work that those therapists did at that time. And that not only included, you know, mental illness, but it also included developmental disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked and I saw the great work that they did. And I just was inspired by how much they cared about individuals in our community that had developmental disabilities and how much they needed assistance. And they, so that was kind of what sparked, you know, my commitment to that, that organization, that agency.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess when I had the opportunity, I was on the city commission back in 2013 when I was approached by the mayor of the city of Lapeer and asked me, hey, I understand that there's a vacancy on the board. I think you'd be a really good asset to that board. You know, why don't you apply? And I did, and I got on. And actually, it doesn't say in my bio, but we went through some changes this last year, and I actually was nominated, and I am actually the chair of the board now. So it's been a really good it's been a good experience, and we have a brand new CEO now, and I think that we're doing good things in our community for those individuals that have special needs, and there's always more to do, but we do a good job at serving those individuals, and so I would just like to continue, you know, being in that position to help those that are in need.
Sure. And so do you see from serving, you know, from the time that you were volunteering to the time that you're now serving on that board specifically, do you take some of those experiences and that information to help you in your job on city commission as well?
I do. I see it, you know, I have to tell you, I see it. Part of the reason why I was so, there was a passion in me to work, to be on the CMH board, is that as an attorney, I do work for mental health. I actually did some criminal defense work. Mm-hmm. I did work up with abuse, neglect, children. And I saw that, you know, mental health is a major issue, and how we, how individuals get to where they are sometimes. And I don't think that people always address those needs that mm-hmm. they need to. Mm-hmm. And so I saw firsthand, you know, the, some of those mental health needs were not getting addressed. And mm-hmm. so I think that was one of the reasons I wanted to serve on that board. I wanted to make sure that we were addressing those concerns. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in Lapeer County, actually now we have a mental health court. Mm-hmm. We're actually getting a drug court. So hopefully we're addressing some of those needs that had not been addressed in the past. And we have a mental health liaison that works with our local sheriff's department to make sure that our local law enforcement actually see the issue out there with mental health needs, and that they're sensitive to those issues, that they're making sure that they're aware of the issues that these individuals have, and that they're making sure they're working with our agencies so that we're all on the same page.
Sure. Well, it's excellent to continue to see that thread of people and issues that is just woven throughout all of the things that you do and touch in your career in local government. And I commend you. I am a huge mental health advocate and do work with the National Alliance on Mental Illness. So it's interesting to hear how some of that kind of also, you know, works its way into your work in local government. So kind of shifting gears a little bit, you mentioned that you started on the league's board a few years ago, and you never would have imagined that you would be in the position of president. So maybe walk me through that a little bit, you know, your time serving on the board and how you eventually got to being interested in the presidency role.
For me, I've always served on boards that have been working boards. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I come from a smaller community, and sometimes you don't have the staffing ability that you do at the league.
Sure.
So I truly think that working boards are where it's at. I think that it's important that if you're going to be a board member, you're going to be committed to whatever organization, you know, mission statement that you're trying to meet. And mm-hmm. I think that when I got on the board, I felt like it, and everybody on the board was great. They were very supportive, but I kind of sat back and thought, okay, this board isn't to me what I thought a working board was. And I thought, you know, there needs to be more engagement. I thought, you know, if we're going to be committed to the mission of serving our Michigan communities, then we need to, you know, we need to be a role model. We need to start, it needs to start with us at the board level. And so it really, I kind of thought about this, you know, when I decided to run as vice president, that that was kind of a goal for me, is that I wanted there to be more engagement between our board and the communities that we serve. So I kind of digressed there a little bit, but
that's okay.
I
I kind of thought about this last week. I was trying to think back to what I wanted to really, what my goal was this last year. And I feel like that everything, all the things that I wanted to accomplish this year didn't necessarily all happen. But I think that the important thing that happened was this summer, you know, we had a retreat and the board had a great retreat. I think that the discussion we had on inclusivity and how important that is to be a part of our mission statement and how we act as board members serving Michigan communities is important. And that even if we just sparked the conversation this summer and we continue that conversation, maybe that's what I was meant to do. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's been a really great experience, and I've been really excited to be a part of the 1650 project. I mean, you know, making sure that we are promoting women leaders in this state is so important. I think it's really sad, and I was really disheartened when I heard that only 16% of municipal managers in Michigan were women. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a statistic that we can absolutely do better with, and we should be doing better with. And so hopefully this initiative that we started back in the spring will bring more leadership through education and mentoring that we're trying to do at the league.
Sure. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I did want to touch on the 1650 project, because I don't know that all of our members know really the history behind why this was a cause that the league decided to take up. And really, for those who aren't aware, the league was doing our own internal research about a year ago and stumbled upon, or we were actually looking for, the statistic of the number of women who served as managers in Michigan. And we came upon the 16% statistic. And that was something that really stuck in our minds. And we knew that that was something that we wanted to do something about, but we weren't sure quite what that would look like. And really, I think it was you in your term as presidency saying, this is something we need to get off the ground now, that really pushed us to do it. It was on our radar, and we definitely had it on our list of things that we wanted to accomplish, but it really was, you know, something that we heard specifically that you were interested in making sure got off the ground during your year. So, certainly you're dedicated to women in leadership, but what specifically, I mean, do you recall hearing about it and kind of trying to push it forward a little bit? Because this is a big accomplishment for the league, and something that the league is really taking initiative on that we haven't quite seen elsewhere before, and in a new way. So, you know, tell us a little bit about hearing about it and your interest in it. And, you know, because I understand that you have some, you know, stories of even your daughter who may be interested in government, and that kind of also colored this backstory a little bit as well.
Yeah, I've always been someone that has tried to push the envelope where, this is a really stupid example probably, but when I was in law school, there was an intramural sports that we had. And I remember there was a flag football league. And I remember saying, okay, well, you know, we're going to get a team together, a bunch of girls and I, and we're going to play. And they're like, okay, you can start your own league. And I said, no, we're going to play in your league. And I remember the attitudes of, you know, and we were in law school, so these were like 20-year-old men, mm-hmm. 24, 26-year-old men, mm-hmm. Who had been to college and like just kind of laughed at me and said, you know, you can't play football, you're a girl. And, you know, and that's totally different than, you know, community involvement. It's totally different than civic life and promoting leadership in Michigan for women. But I think it just, it sparked the anger. Like, this is what, you know, men have just not promoted women, and you know, it's, I think it's our job as females to promote each other. And I think if we aren't going to do it, we can't expect men to promote females in leadership. Mm-hmm. But I think that there is hope for change. And I was indicating a story this morning that I know of a woman that is in our community in Lapeer that she actually works at a local restaurant waitressing, and she is in a public administration major at a local college, and she wants to be a city manager. And I think that is just awesome that she wants to be a city manager, and she doesn't see that as a hurdle. I mean, she's going forward. She wants to do it. And our city manager actually has offered her a part-time internship so she can kind of see how it works and what's going on when she's there watching, you know, what he's doing. And so I think that's a really great start. I can tell you in college, I knew other individuals that were in public administration. And I think that, I don't know if necessarily there would have been, there was the same mindset 30 years ago for women to want to be in city management. I'm not saying that there weren't women that went into private situations, but I think as city managers, I think it was definitely something that was not thought of. So, and then obviously the other thing that I've done over the last year and a half within my own city is actually Commissioner Atwood and I really wanted to promote youth involvement. And so we ended up engaging our local high school and began a youth council. And it's a small one at this point. There are five individuals on that council, but you know, out of five, three of them are female high school students. And that's encouraging that there are women, there are young females in our high schools that actually want to be engaged in civic life. They want to give back to their community. They want to see change in their community, and they're willing to work at it. And I'm proud of the fact that my daughter is the chair of that city council and the youth council. And so I do see glimmer of hope. I see that there's a momentum to change the mindset. And I think you see that across our nation with all of, there's so many women that are running for public office, whether it be for local office or state office or even federal office. I think that there's just that, it's like we're in this moment in our lifetime that hopefully that there's that spark that just makes everyone realize how much, how women can change our world by their leadership.
And value of women in leadership.
Yeah,
absolutely. So certainly the 1650 Project was a large initiative that kicked off during your year as president of the board. So I want to just hear from you. What are you most proud of? Aside maybe from that, but what are you most proud of the past year?
I think I am the most proud of what we did, and I'm going to go back to the same thing. I'm really proud of what we did at our June retreat. We, you know, Melanie and I, when we talked about, we had this retreat, we had a facilitator, Mike Bills, who did an awesome job. He came in, we wanted to engage our board. We wanted to bring, get our board more involved in issues and make them more engaged. And I don't think we really knew what we were going to end up with at the end of that retreat. And the last 2 hours of that retreat and what we came up with, which is now what we've adopted as our standards of excellence policy for our board, with including a visioning statement, was just awesome. You know, the basically our new policy on inclusivity and taking that back, how we're going to take that back and engage that in our own communities, how we're going to be role models for our communities and making sure that we're being inclusive. I think that's what I'm most proud of. I don't know if, you know, we would have thought or imagined that being the case, you know, this time last year. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud that we've actually adopted those standards. And I hope that our board now and the new trustees that are coming forward later this afternoon really appreciate those standards that we've put forth, and that they take those standards and they apply them in their own communities and they try to make their communities more inclusive.
Well, thank you so much, Catherine. I just have to say on behalf of the League, we have been honored to have your leadership over the last year, and we are so excited to have you continue to be involved in the League and be a voice for Michigan's communities, and seeing you around in the future. So thank you so much, and thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.